Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 19 years and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding this show. Now, today I would like to read some passages and information to you from a wonderful and valuable book I got to read not too long ago. And this book is titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. Also, this book was a reading requirement for my ongoing studies in whole food nutrition. I think it is an absolute must read for everyone who seriously cares about their health because it gives us clear and concise answers to many of our health issues that we face today. Now, the author, Mary Frost, has laid out a simple message that we have all conveniently forgotten, which is, you can't mess with Mother Nature without paying the price. And as we know, the United States has one of the most advanced trauma care systems in the world, yet we have failed miserably in supporting our everyday health needs. This book is a fun and easy read mixed with sobering information, a book you will want to share with your friends, and it clearly defines the difference between whole natural foods and the devitalized high-carb sugar-laden foods on the market today. Now, Christmas is a time of revelation, and I find it is an appropriate time to share some great information with you from this book, and I will read highlights from some of the passages. But before we begin, let's listen to some Christmas music, and I'll be back shortly, and the CD I will be featuring today is called Tidings of Joy.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. Today I would like to read some passages to you from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. And as I mentioned, this book is invaluable to us and it clearly helps us understand what happened to our food supply and why we are dealing with so many health issues. So the following information is a chapter from this book. And she also quotes Dr. John Abrahamson from his book Overdosed America. And Dr. Abrahamson quotes, "This nation is faced with a severe health crisis. The U.S. spends more than twice as much per person on healthcare as 21 other industrialized countries. But our health ranks actually dead last. And so it turns out that taking the most expensive drugs and having the most expensive procedures can be helpful or life-saving sometimes. But for most people, most of the time, living a healthy lifestyle does far more to protect your health." So this was a quote by Dr. John Abrahamson, and there's a very informative website of his. You go to www.overdosedamerica.com, all one word. And many experts say we are in a health crisis today and that medical costs could end up bankrupting our country. And the statistics are just not good because the number of people in the United States diagnosed with diabetes has more than doubled in the last 15 years. Roughly 25% of all adult Americans are obese, and the Center for Disease Control has called obesity an epidemic because it kills almost 500,000 people a year, and more than 100 million Americans are chronically ill. So this is also a quote from Mary Frost's book. So why are our national health statistics becoming so alarming? And Mary Frost says, "My studies have led me to conclude that there are three major culprits contributing to the disintegration of our health. First of all, the harm that is done to our food before it even gets to us, which means the depletion and demineralization of the soil, as well as the contamination of produce by excessive use of pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, the chemicalization of food through overprocessing, enriching, and preserving, and the contamination of water from pesticide runoff and fluoridation, and secondly, synthetic vitamins taken as supplements. And third, low-fat, low-protein, high-carbohydrate diets. Foods are not what they once were. Today's fresh produce is far less nutritious. For example, to get the iron that was available in one cup of spinach in 1945, you would have to consume 65 cups today. An orange that contained 50 milligrams of natural vitamin C complex in 1950 now contains only 5 milligrams. So we are producing less nutritious food at the highest cost in history, while farmers are going bankrupt. Now, how can this be? There are three causes of America's topsoil depletion: deforestation, incorrect farming methods, and overuse of fungicides and pesticides. And she also says the Europeans who settled in this country in the 1700s found 18 to 25 inches of rich topsoil. Now, topsoils in Iowa that were once a foot deep are now less than 6 inches deep. And the causes of topsoil loss include plowing too deeply, failing to rotate crops, and grazing too many animals on the land. Wind erosion and water erosion is another serious problem. To date, over 260 million acres of trees in America have been cut to make way for raising livestock. Now, trees shade the soil, hold it in place, and act as pumps to draw water up near the surface of the ground and keeping water tables high. The U.S. Department of Forestry maintains that a country needs at least 10% of the land covered by forests. Soil is the basis of all life. Of course, the plants that grow in soil are at the lowest end of the food chain, and they in turn become food for animals at the next level of the food chain. These animals are then the food supply for humans at the highest end of the chain. Mineral deficient soil is one of the original sources of disease in the world today. The modern corporate farmer is out of touch with the earth. He hardly ever examines the soil. Instead, he looks at it from the height of his tractor. And if he spots a fungus growing on the plant, he heads down to the chemical supply station and applies these poisonous chemicals to our growing food. For years, we have been told that without these chemicals, we would have famine. So out of fear, we have accepted them. But the truth is that industrial agriculture could be heading us toward famine. Some of the land is so devoid of worms and microbial life, which are the signs of a healthy soil, that the remains of harvested crops cannot be turned under anymore. Years and years of soil sterilization has made the soil incapable of even rotting or composting. Pesticide production increased from 1945 to 1990 by an insane 3,300%. In the same time period, crop loss due to insect damage increased 20%. This is because insects are mutating so as to be able to live on these poisons. The truth is, pesticides are failing miserably and they're poisoning our food chain, and we're not able to mutate as fast as insects do. Pesticides are very difficult to eliminate. Pesticides residues can be found in plants grown in soil previously sprayed years before. In order to be certified organic, no chemical fertilizers, pesticides, or fungicides can be used on the land for 3 years, and the land is built up organically. At the end of those 3 years, the produce is tested for pesticide residue, and if there is any residue at all, the farmer must wait another year and have his product tested again before he can label it certified organic. High-tech farming lacks true understanding of a planet's immune system. In the plant's root system, there are little offshoot rootlets that have hair-like fungi growing on them. Good soil is composed of 45% minerals and is full of microbial life, which contains millions of bacteria. The bacteria's primary job is to decompose anything that falls on the land and to break down mineral deposits into plant food. The plant is not devoured by the bacteria because the hair-like fungi secretes antibiotics to protect the plant. If we see a fungus growing on a plant, it is a self-produced fungus because there was something inferior about the quality of the plant. Nature grows a fungus on an inferior plant, which then dies, decomposes, and begins again until it gets it right. Plants do not manufacture trace minerals, they absorb them. And much is said now in the news of the importance of different trace minerals such as selenium, boron, and chromium. Just the absence of one trace mineral can cause health problems. Also, dependent on trace minerals are enzymes. All metabolic processes at the cellular level depend on enzymes. Sometimes also called the sparks of life, enzymes sustain, assimilate, and transform all life processes through their catalytic action. No species can ingest food without the presence of enzymes. And there are 92 known trace elements. So this information was quoted from the book, Going Back to the Basics of Human Health. And before we continue, let's listen to some more music. And I hope you will enjoy this next song. And I'll be back shortly with more information for you.
Our finest gifts we bring, to lay before the king, we
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today I'm sharing some valuable information with you from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost. And I will continue to quote passages from this book. And so she writes, "The advocates of whole foods and organic farming are so out-talked by the advocates of big business that we can hardly hear the truth through all their blaring. But our bodies know what is happening. The innate intelligence in our bodies is telling us through heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and obesity that something is amiss. First of all, it will take an all-out-of global effort to remineralize the soils with rock dust and the planting of billions of trees, coupled with the elimination of fossil fuel burning and the development of alternative sources of power, which in the end will help restore the carbon balance between the land and the atmosphere. All these challenges are just pertaining to growing the food, but it gets worse when one takes a look at the actual chemicalization of foods. Let's see now. Hundreds of millions of acres of trees have been chopped down. Millions of acres of natural vegetation have been overgrazed. Endless gallons of chemical fertilizers have been poured on the soil, and untold amounts of fungicides and pesticides have been sprayed on plants. So, what's left in our food supply to be attacked? So let's alter the natural food. Let's destroy all the enzymes left in them so they can sit on the shelf indefinitely. A trip to the grocery store really is more like a journey through a chemical laboratory. Most foods contain additives, preservatives, and synthetic vitamins. And we take all this for granted and assume that what we are buying is still really food. The shocking truth of how all these substances came to be in our foods is not fully understood, but should be. Within a generation following World War I, the so-called foods of commerce took over the marketplace. The food supply became bleached, refined, chemically preserved, pasteurized, sterilized, hydrogenated, artificially colored and flavored, defibered, highly sugared, highly salted, synthetically fortified and enriched, canned, and generally exposed to hundreds of new man-made chemicals. How did this happen? And Mary Frost says the first food and drug law of 1906 was sabotaged from its very inception by commercial interests who had great influence within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. By 1912, they succeeded in forcing Dr. Wiley from his office as the head of the USDA's Bureau of Chemistry. And this was accomplished by making it impossible for Dr. Wiley to do his job. His department had been given full authority by the law to decide what a violation of the law was, and Dr. Wiley was considered too much a purist. For example, he ordered the seizure of a shipment of bleached flour because the bleaching process left nitrate residue in the flour. The case of the U.S. versus Lexington Mill went all the way to the Supreme Court, which ruled in favor of the government and ordered the flour to be destroyed. But the head of the USDA ignored this decision. Dr. Wiley also filed suit against Coca-Cola to keep this artificial concoction off the market with an explanation that no food should have any traces of benzoic acid, sulfuric acid, or sulfites, or any allium or saccharin. Dr. Wiley also was against grain companies sifting the flour, which meant removing the wheat germ. After Dr. Wiley was forced out of office, the Bureau of Chemistry was gradually dismantled. By 1931, it had evolved into the Food and Drug Administration. From 1939 to 1949, the experts headed by the FDA were in and out of federal court getting court orders to block health food manufacturers from telling the public what the difference was between the quality of the products and those of their synthetic or overprocessed counterparts. In other words, a manufacturer of whole wheat flour was blocked from publicizing that white flour had lost 30 different nutrients. Amazingly, the FDA's case rested on testimonies like this one. Quote, "It is wholly unscientific to state that a well-fed body is more able to resist disease than a less well-fed body, unquote. Unbelievable. In other words, the claim was that there hadn't been enough experimentation to prove that dietary deficiencies can make one more susceptible to disease. The American public has been used as the official testing lab for this kind of fallacious thinking. It was these courtroom scenes far away from the public eye that set the stage for ruined, devitalized food to legitimately dominate the marketplace. At the same time, nutritional pioneers such as Dr. Royal Lee, Dr. Francis Pottinger, and Dr. Weston Price published their findings to support the importance of natural whole foods, but they were completely ignored. The truth was helpless in the face of the FDA because the United States government has been controlled by special interests like the commercial food industry for nearly 80 years, and people today are just beginning to realize the dangers of this. In the front lines of those who realized what was happening to our foods stood Dr. Royal Lee, a genius and prolific inventor. He came to hold 70 patents, mainly for electric motors. But nutrition was his true passion, and as his engineering company became successful, Dr. Lee was able to take time to pursue his study of food chemistry. He began making concentrates of all major vitamin complexes, which he tested on himself and his family with phenomenal results. He felt he had a duty to help others, and out of this was born a whole food supplement company, today known as Standard Process. And by the way, I would like to mention that I have used these whole food supplements with great success for many, many years in my practice. When Dr. Lee tried to advertise and promote his supplements, the FDA took him to court over and over again. For example, when he tried to advertise a supplement to aid digestion, he faced competition from, of all things, cigarettes. The FDA ultimately prevented Dr. Lee from promoting his food supplement, and at the same time, it allowed Camel cigarettes to advertise in Life magazine that smoking cigarettes improve digestion. Another example of the handiwork of the FDA was the allowance of an ad claim related to the health benefits of sugar, where it said, quote, "Science shows how sugar can help keep your appetite and weight under control," unquote. So this ad actually promoted elevating blood sugar to cut down on the sensation of hunger. Is it any wonder that diabetes has been on the rise ever since? Many people think if it's advertised, it's true. But when we come to understand what has actually been done to our foods, and when we truly realize how much misinformation about health and nutrition we have been fed over the years, we can't help but wake up. The foods that most people buy today are actually much worse than the ones that Dr. Lee and other nutritional pioneers tried to expose as the cause of rampant malnutrition in our nation. These pioneer studies repeatedly proved that refined carbohydrates and sugars cause tooth decay, diabetes, arthritis, and other degenerative diseases. Unquote. So I read this passage to you from the book Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost, and now it's time to take a short break with more music, and we will continue with this topic in a few minutes. Thank you. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. I have been quoting interesting facts and information to you from the book titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health by Mary Frost, and I will continue to do so. So Mary Frost quotes, "The FDA allowed the marketplace to become filled with unhealthy, overprocessed grains and cereals. As we navigate through the aisles of the grocery store, most of us have no concept of the battles fought and lost by the early pioneers in nutrition, who wanted to keep overprocessed, dead, and devitalized foods from the marketplace by educating people not to eat them. We have no idea it was continual FDA enforcement in one form or another that made it possible for all the chemical-laced foods to be on the shelf today. In the mid-1940s, artificial vitamins came into the picture and were added to the grains and cereals, all for huge profit. 100 years ago, people ate fresh, whole foods, including plenty of grass-fed and free-range meat, butter, and lard. But they did not eat any refined, processed, or chemical foods, and certainly did not eat any refined and altered oils and fats. 100 years ago, heart attacks were practically unheard of in the United States, and Alzheimer's disease did not exist. Most people don't realize that oils contain important nutrients when they are unrefined. Dr. Royal Lee pointed out back in the 1950s that natural fats and oils contain vitamins A, E, K, and trace minerals, and that we need them to maintain our normal weight, normal blood pressure, to prevent heart disease, and to maintain hormonal balance. He warned of the destruction to our health when fats and oils are tinkered with. Fats or oils from seeds are extracted by first grinding, then expeller pressing the seeds. When manufacturers wanted to increase the amount of oil produced, they applied chemical solvents to extract more oil, increasing the amount by almost 80%. Benzene was the first solvent to be used, but hexane is the one predominantly used today. Hexane is a high vapor pressure component of gasoline that is easily ignited. Not surprisingly, the EPA listed as a carcinogen. The original studies claimed that all traces of hexane either evaporate or are removed. However, studies done in 1997 on 6 cooking oils extracted with hexane found higher levels than expected. But the processing nightmare doesn't stop there. Many oils are hydrogenated, which means they are subjected to high heat, a metal catalyst, and hydrogen gas. Then they are degummed. And this process removes important vitamins and minerals. If the oil is to be used for cooking, it is then bleached. Most vegetable oils that are made from seeds cannot be used for baking and deep fat frying unless they are changed again from a liquid oil into a solid fat. When you try to substitute a cup of oil for a cup of butter or lard in your cookie recipe, you will end up with a flat, greasy cookie. Frying foods in unrefined oil can cause them to look greasy and the oil spoils very quickly. These nasty problems are fixed by a process called partial hydrogenation, which changes oils into man-made plastic fats that do not melt at room temperature. This partial hydrogenation process has produced a whole new class of fatty acids called trans fatty acids that we're hearing so much about in the news today. The FDA has determined that the safe level of trans fats in the diet is zero. But instead of banning them from foods, the FDA simply required the processed food industry to label all trans fat content, starting in 2006. However, buyer beware, the FDA allows foods that list partially hydrogenated oil in the ingredients to say zero trans fats on the label if they contain less than 0.5 grams per serving. But this adds up. For example, 5 cookies with 0.4 grams of trans fats translates into 2 grams. The FDA estimates the average American eats 4.7 pounds of trans fats each year, but it is probably a lot more than that. These trans fats not only have artery clogging properties, but they also cause cellular damage, which correlates to low birth weight in human infants. Trans fats are about as dangerous to eat as any substance the food industry has ever created. Think about it. The U.S. ranks 74th in the world in infant mortality due to low birth weight. Diabetes is an epidemic, immune disorders and childhood asthma are on the rise as well. Unquote. And it's time for another short break with music, and I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today I have been quoting valuable information for you from the book by Mary Frost, which is titled Going Back to the Basics of Human Health. And we have made it through a few chapters that goes on explaining how our foods became so devitalized today and why these foods contribute to the many degenerative diseases and health problems. If you would like to hear more information from this book, I ask you to stay tuned to next week's show, and I will read more chapters and share more information with you from this great book. And I think you will agree that it is a very sad fact that our health was greatly compromised for the sake of huge profit margins and longer shelf lives. But because this happened over a span of time involving several generations, people have come to accept marginal health as the norm. The public has never been given access to accurate nutritional information. Instead, the processed food industry has been allowed to have its way, and television, with all its commercial sponsors, has served as the main source of nutritional information for the majority of us. Marketing to children has become the processed food industry's forte. Unfortunately, in today's healthcare model, there is no interest in prevention. The more people get sick and slowly deteriorate, the more money there is to be made. So my goal is to educate about natural food and soil, whole food supplements versus synthetic vitamins, and the importance of protein and natural fats in the diet. And I encourage everybody to go back to the basics of human health. Why? Because our health is only truly protected and insured by eating whole foods. Good whole foods is the most important element in our lives. Food is the source of the nutrients required by the human body to perform its many biochemical processes. Because nutritional deficiencies are normal and not life-threatening at first and take time to manifest themselves as serious health problems, many people ignore the early warning signs that their bodies are giving them. Deteriorating joints, depression, and general lethargy are among these warning signs, and all too often we dismiss them as being both normal and natural. Worse, we expect them. However, the root cause of all symptoms and disease are depleted foods, poor diet, and a sedentary lifestyle. And these factors are then further impacted by the negative effect of too much carbohydrates on vitamin and mineral deficient metabolism. So the long-term effects of inefficient sugar handling are poor digestion and impaired liver and gallbladder function, which leads to biliary stasis, resulting in a disruption of the endocrine system. And this disruption stimulates multiple symptoms and problems, such as the numerous menopausal difficulties women are experiencing today. And if you have been regularly listening to my show, you're familiar with some action steps you can take to avoid the many pitfalls the standard American diet presents. And as I already mentioned, good whole food is the most important element in our lives. So I would like to take the rest of this show and talk about the many health benefits of cranberries, which I chose as the food of the week. Now, the cranberry has been used as both a food and a medicine for centuries. It is native to North America and was used by Native Americans to treat bladder and kidney diseases. Early settlers from England learned to use the berry both raw and cooked for many ailments, including appetite loss, digestive problems, blood disorders, and scurvy, which is a vitamin C deficiency. Cranberry is best known as a preventative treatment for urinary tract infections, commonly caused by bacteria. And originally, scientists thought cranberry worked by making urine acidic enough to kill the bacteria. But now studies show that cranberry actually prevents bacteria from attaching to the walls of the urinary tract. Valid scientific studies support the use of cranberry taken as a supplement or as juice for preventing urinary tract infections. And many urologists and gynecologists now advise patients who suffer recurrent or chronic bladder infections to drink a couple of glasses of cranberry juice daily as a preventative measure. However, commercial cranberry juice is often too diluted to be effective in preventing or treating urinary infections, because it also contains large amounts of sugar or other sweeteners. But you can buy a 100% unsweetened cranberry juice or concentrate at the Whole Foods pantry at the Evergreen Cottage. And you can also make your own cranberry juice using a juicer. Found primarily in North America and grown in bogs, cranberry is an evergreen shrub related to blueberry, huckleberry, and bilberry. Cranberry fruit is high in antioxidants and vitamin C, bioflavonoids, and fiber. European researchers have found that one of these bioflavonoids promotes formation of visual purple, a pigment in the eyes, instrumental in color and night vision. And other studies suggest it has an anti-cancer effect. And recent research also suggests that the phytochemicals in cranberries may aid in the fight against heart disease. And in one study, participants who drank 3 glasses of unsweetened cranberry juice daily saw their HDL, or so-called good cholesterol, increase by an average of 10%. Cranberries may also help blood vessels relax in people with hardening of the arteries, and they have some power to protect brain cells against damage that can occur with stroke. Cranberries are usually only available fresh in markets from September through December, but they keep very well, and you can actually refrigerate fresh cranberries for up to 4 weeks or freeze them for up to a year. Raw, fresh cranberries offer the most nutritional value, and to make them more palatable, you should mix them with apples, pears, apricots, and oranges. And to keep antioxidant levels high, you should cook them just until tender and not overcook them. So now let's take a short break with music, and when I return, I will share a few wonderful recipes with you.
Thank you.
friends, welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia, and we have been talking about the many health benefits of cranberries. And now I would like to share a few recipes with you. And the first recipe is for a cranberry pear sauce. And what's really great about this easy-to-make dish is that the pears and dried cherries give the cranberry sauce an extra touch of natural sweetness, allowing you to cut down on added sugar. Plus, you can make this sauce several days in advance. Just keep it tightly covered and refrigerated until you're ready to serve it. And this recipe makes about 4 cups, and you will need 1 12-ounce bag of fresh cranberries, preferably organic. You need 3 ripe pears that have been peeled and quartered and cored and cut into half-inch chunks. And in a medium saucepan, you combine the cranberries and the pears. And then you add 1/2 cup of dried cherries and 1/2 cup of water. And you bring everything to a boil over medium heat. And then you reduce the heat to a simmer and you cook the sauce, stirring frequently to prevent scorching until the berries have popped and are tender for about 15 minutes. And then you let the mixture cool down a bit and you add 1/4 to 1/2 cup of raw honey. And it is very important not to add the honey too early because the enzymes will get lost. So this is a very simple recipe and I hope you will give it a try because it really tastes wonderful. The next recipe I would like to share with you is a mulled cranberry cocktail. And for this recipe, you need a medium saucepan and you combine 1 quart of pure cranberry juice, 1 cinnamon stick, and 2 whole cloves, and you bring everything to a boil. And then you reduce the heat and you simmer everything. And meanwhile, in another saucepan, you combine 1/2 cup of fresh cranberries, 1/2 cup of sugar, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 2 tablespoons of water. And you simmer this mixture until the cranberries pop and are well coated with the sugar mixture. And when these cranberries are cool enough to handle, you thread 3 to 4 berries, each on a toothpick or on a decorative skewer. And then you can go and divide the cranberry juice among 4 mugs and you garnish it with the skewered cranberries. And this drink is a nice treat and a welcome change from hot tea or chocolate. Plus it is loaded with vitamin C and antioxidants. Another festive thing to do with cranberries is to mix some dried cranberries, and you can also use chopped walnuts in some fresh goat cheese and use it for canapés or appetizers. And you can mix it up ahead of time, and it is especially tasty if you toast the walnuts in a 375-degree oven by putting them on a large cookie sheet. And you toss the nuts with a little bit of olive oil and cinnamon, and you can also sprinkle a little bit of salt and pepper on it. And then you can bake them until golden for about 4 to 6 minutes, and then you let them cool down. And meanwhile, you can mix the fresh goat cheese with dried cranberries and a little bit of thyme, and you set it aside. And then you can also toast some slices of bread. Baguette would be really, really great. And you spread the bread with the cheese and you top it with the roasted walnuts. I hope this will inspire you to include cranberries in your meal plan during the holidays. And I also want to take this opportunity to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And I wish you the warmth of family and friends at this beautiful time. And I want to remind you that in our fast-paced society, it is easy to forget how important it is to slow down once in a while. So it is important to use meal times, which should be precious moments throughout the day, to reconnect with yourself, your thoughts, your body, and the food you put in it. Remember that feeding your body is a sacred event, so don't rush it. Thank you so much for listening this evening. I hope you enjoyed the information as well as the music. And for a list of my services, I invite you to visit my website at elywellness.com or stop by at the Evergreen Cottage and Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center to pick up a free pamphlet. I also invite you to stop by and check out the Whole Foods Pantry and stock up on organic groceries such as organic produce, meats, dairy, and natural foods to keep yourself and your family in good health. Or if you happen to be in the Virginia area, I encourage you to visit the Natural Harvest Food Co-op. Remember, let food be your medicine. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you will join me again next Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock right here on WELY. Be well and take care.